What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dress Down. Today we have a very special guest, a self-proclaimed walking red flag who is an incredible content creator. I'm sure that you have seen his TikToks or YouTube shorts or Instagram reels, but is also an actor and a model. Chris Barnett is with us today.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for sitting down.
I'm excited to be here. I'm a, actor, model, writer, all the things, content creator now. Mm-hmm. And now I do all of them together, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very multifaceted individual, I'll say. We've been doing research today. You keep seeing all my notes.
Yeah, I walked in and I saw you with this breakdown of like bullet pointed notes. And
yes.
I was like, what did I get myself into?
Right.
And I'm still kind of concerned about
that.
I can tell,
but it's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll get through everything.
Yeah.
And yeah. But we met recently on an Anime IRL video.
Yeah, is that when we met?
Yes. I want to say yes.
Was it?
The first one that I did.
Was
with...
it Death Note?
No. Not that one.
It was after that.
It was before that.
I feel like I randomly just saw you at Nick's place once.
Oh, you're
and
right.
That was the
actually.
First, like, and I was like, she's so quiet and shy and nice. And then I got
That's
to know
me.
Her.
Yeah.
And
then all bets are off after the first few times, I'll say.
Once you've seen her in a Santa beard, then... Yeah.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know.
You walked in while we were filming the Christmas episode and
As
caught
I
me
do.
Red-handed.
I just walk in and just ruin people's takes all the time.
Well, I want to know if nobody is familiar with your online presence, how would you describe your work and your content?
So it's been a while now. I've been on the internet as a personality, I suppose. My stuff's a little different than most in that it's all acting in some way, shape, or form. So it's not really personality, although you'll get bits and pieces of it, of various personalities, I guess.
Well, I would like to challenge you, actually, and say that writing has a lot of personality in it, and you write a lot of the skits, right?
I write all of my skits.
Yeah.
So thank you, I guess, to a degree. If you can read and appreciate the script and glean some information there, you can get bits and pieces of kind of who I am for the most part. But my content ranges from just standard comedy. It's typically got a dark undertone. I love genre blending stuff, so making things cinematic for like no reason. Subversions, so make you clearly expect one thing and it is something very different. I just have a lot of fun. A lot of it is character based because I started just as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I was not a one-man production company that I am today, where I taught myself editing and coloring and sound and all of it. So now I guess I've kind of evolved beyond that, but it started with character work. I was like, what characters do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And this is why I encouraged actors, especially during the pandemic and when I started, to just do it. Because when you're an actor, you don't really get to act very often.
Right.
It's literally just class or if you get cast in something.
And the auditions here and there.
Yeah, I mean, even then it's like, it's not... It's more of like if you do it correctly, and I believe Bryan Cranston said this the best, the way he approaches auditions that resonated with me a long time ago. It's that you're not there to get the job. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. But you're there to give your take on what a character would be like, your version of the character. And that's all you can do. You just walk into the audition, you're like, here's my version of this, and then you leave. So that resonated with me deeply. And that's kind of how you approach, or I approached auditions. So it's also less about like seeing the final product, because you give the performance and you used to do it in person. Now you send a tape in and you just kind of wait.
Mm-hmm. So how do you keep up with acting in the meantime then?
Auditions. I mean,
practice.
As much as I miss the room, because it's so less, you know, frequent that you audition in front of casting directors nowadays. You're just going to send tapes in and blindly hope and believe that they watch them all.
That's Fair.
I mean, you never know. Right?
You don't. I do voice acting now. For the past year, I've been working on it. And there are some websites that you can, like, the pay-to-play sites where you audition for opening
websites.
Yeah.
Everyone uses those.
Right. But sometimes they'll cast and you'll go and look and they haven't even watched your, you haven't listened to your audition. And you're like, what am I even doing here? Yeah.
See, that's heartbreaking, which is why a lot of times I don't even, unless it's something really good, I won't even submit a tape. I'm like, that takes a lot of time out of my day.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's a huge commitment. I have to edit it. You know, you have to slate, you have to do all this, and then you send it in after however many takes, get a reader. It's just a lot to potentially not even have it be seen. So, and I know other people in this industry, like even Steven, like he's, you all know Steven, Emotional Damage, biggest comedy YouTuber on the planet. You know, he's also an actor. That's how he started. And he doesn't even do, like he's offer only. Mm-hmm. He won't audition.
And doing content kind of puts the power back into your lap.
It does. You know, it was very hard to process that because when I started as an actor, you know, and I was modeling, I would be running all over New York City doing every single casting or audition I could just because I was like, rent is coming up. I gotta pay that. But now I can turn down auditions, which I do all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to be in, to have control over your fate, like coming from an actor who, like, you typically don't have any control. It's nice.
Yeah. I think it's taking back a lot of the power with content. You also know so much about the process because you have to teach yourself editing and photography or videography and lighting and all these things. I think also it makes you better because you know about all of the other aspects of the business.
That is true. I also encourage any actor traditionally to do time as a crew member so you can understand the process of everything and really appreciate the work that everyone puts into a production. And on the creator side, for me, it was more so out of necessity because I was like, I would make things and I'm like, I had a vision in my head and that is not it. Mm. And that I don't like that. Mm-hmm. So the whole process of learning how to edit and color grade and do sound and really get the shots I wanted and do lighting, I was like, I need it to make it look as close as possible to what you see
in your head.
And that's what made it fun. Cause like the closer I got, the more I was like, oh my God, like this is exciting. Mm-hmm. And I'm still like that to a degree. I mean, when you kind of have too much of a, you know, demand that you put on yourself to like pump content out, you lose a lot of the artistry, in my opinion. Totally. At least specifically, especially with the content I make. Mm-hmm. So I've gone through cycles of doing that. And I nowadays have learned to give myself more grace and actually enjoy the process again. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll just burn myself out repeatedly.
Right. Well, when you started, did you start as an actor or did you start as a model or both?
So that is a fun story. I was in college playing lacrosse and I happened to be in good shape at the time. And my college's proximity to Boston was not that far. So a lot of the guys from the team, we would go out to Boston and hit the bars and have some fun. And one night a buddy of mine spills a drink on me and my shirt was now like stained red. So I was like, hey, give me your undershirt.
Okay.
I'm changing into his undershirt.
Okay.
And then slightly older woman approaches.
Shut up.
I swear, scouted
at a bar because
bro,
you changed your
shirt. I thought I was getting picked up.
So crazy.
I promise you, I thought
this
I was getting picked
crazy.
Up. Me and all my friends, they're like, oh, like he's getting picked up.
Yeah.
She asked me to come to her hotel room. Not room, but lobby.
Yeah.
She's like, come to the hotel lobby so I can take some digitals of you. I was like, like, say less. Literally.
This sounds like the beginning of a kidnapping,
dude,
I'll say.
I was dumb and drunk. It could have been. But, and I think part of me back then wished it was anything other than what it was. Because her hotel was like a couple like blocks away.
Uh-huh.
We walk in, she leaves me in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Comes back, literally takes photos of me against like a neutral backdrop and gives me her contact information, takes mine, and is like, we'll be in touch. And I was like, and she leaves. And I'm like, what?
That's so nuts.
And I forgot about it for like a month and a half.
That sounds like you made it up.
No.
I believe you, but it sounds unreal.
I thought I was getting laid. And all my friends were giving me so much shit when I came back.
They're like, you got scouted to be a model.
The fact that it worked, because like a month and a half, 2 months later, they hit me up and I do a fitness campaign. It was a rebranding campaign for this. It was traditionally like targeted yoga moms, but mm-hmm. then they were like, we want to get into the fitness industry.
Yeah.
It was called Live Well 360.
You need a lacrosse player. Yeah. Rebrand.
I was really like jacked at the time. So like probably 30 pounds heavier than I am of just, and less body fat. And yeah, I got my first paycheck from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gave me permission and clarity, because I'd always wanted to act. I'd always known from a very young age I wanted to be a performer and act.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a coward growing up.
Whoa.
Yeah, you play sports.
Yeah.
You don't do theater.
Mm. That's
right?
A very Troy Bolton attitude of you.
Is that the... Oh, is that High School Musical?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but I had to go my own way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But yeah, I was kind of a coward. I remember vividly some discussions like in high school when my friends were like, oh, they're doing the senior show, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, oh yeah, that's dumb. Totally don't wish I was doing that.
Right.
But then I got to college and I cared less.
Yeah.
But I didn't think I could make a living out of it until I got that paycheck. And I was like, huh,
mm-hmm.
you can make a living doing things that are not, you know, being a doctor or a lawyer or insert regular job here.
Yeah. So were you doing theater, like plays at home, or were you not doing any of it at all and just wishing that you could?
A lot of not doing anything. When I was very young, I mean,
like hairbrush in the mirror style.
When I was very young, I would just be a quote unquote ham, as my late grandmother put it.
Right.
And you know, when she would watch old
my
movies with
was
me,
the same.
I would always perform.
Yeah.
I'm also the middle child, so I needed to get the attention.
Right.
You know, it's a battle. Mm-hmm. All the middle kids get it.
I'm the oldest.
You would never understand.
I don't understand.
Never.
No.
But yeah, we needed to. It's a survival thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of stuff at home in front of, you know, my grandma, in front of the mirror, just in general being very dramatic, for lack of a better term. I remember getting in trouble one of my oldest memories. In second grade, we were on the playground for recess, and mm-hmm. I was like, I could probably just pretend to be dead.
So I could probably just pretend. It took me a second to for that to marinate, actually.
Yeah.
And you did.
I did.
You did.
I dropped.
You just dropped.
And I stayed there no matter what was happening. I actually got carried by my teacher she was sobbing. I felt like, thinking back, I feel terrible. But
this
like,
is so, okay. Mm-hmm.
Evil.
Crazy.
Like fucked up.
It's pretty evil, but I did some crazy
kid,
stupid
was like,
shit when I was a kid.
I was just,
so
I don't know
I
why
it.
Or what even it sparked this, but I was like, I could do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good enough to convince everyone that I'm dead. And then, like, as she was about to bring me through the doors, I'm like, ha! I got in trouble for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's not okay. Don't do that.
That's...
Playing.
But so then you were like, I'm a performer. And I... forgive me if I'm wrong, but your mom was on Broadway?
My mom was a performer, yes. She... Cats, Les Mis, stuff like that. When I was very young, I got to go to like some of the set, like when she had to perform,
mm-hmm.
I would like go and be like sit in the audience. I couldn't really appreciate it. I was too young, but like I could just be there. And then she would like come out with the makeup like during intermission and be like, are you okay? And I'm like, I probably don't even know if I could talk. Very vague memories, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she stopped when she had my older brother
mm-hmm.
and hadn't really performed since. We still try to get her to do stuff now, especially now that we're all
making.
Yeah, we're all living life.
Yeah.
We're just like, hey, you know, you could just start performing again.
Right. And your brother does cinematography?
My older brother, he is a director, and he's very well known in the industry for visual effects. Mm. So movies like Star Trek or Limitless or like shows like Blue Bloods, he does all the cool effects you see.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I hate complimenting him, but he's very good. He's very good at that.
You have a very creative family, though. And did that inspire you from a young age?
I don't know if that inspired me as much as I've always loved, been drawn to cinema and performing in general. I couldn't even tell you why or what caused it, like, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any movies or pieces of media that you remember growing up that hit you a specific way?
I mean, there were a lot of old movies that I got shown by my grandma and great-grandma when I would be very young. I mean, like old black and white stuff that, you know, it kind of ingrained a love for like old Hollywood and that like nostalgia feel. And the, you know, the transatlantic voice that is part of what made me a hit online at first, because no one did that ever. And I don't know why, it still has that old charm to it.
Yeah.
But in terms of like media specifically that sticks with me, Gene Wilder and Willy Wonka was one of the first performances where I was like, he's crazy, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to be his friend or do you want to be him or both?
I want to be better than him.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was great, though. I mean, there's been so many iconic like performances over the years but that's probably the first one that I remember so vividly. I don't even know why. I think it's an old movie. But if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. And I don't know Timothée Chalamet. Never met him. But no.
Oh, you didn't like him as Willy Wonka?
I didn't watch it, but oh. You never, no, never, never do that. Don't do that. Maybe I'm bitter on a subconscious level.
Maybe you want to play Willy Wonka. Maybe
oh,
that's
God,
why.
I would crush Willy Wonka.
Is that a dream role for you? Do you have a dream role?
I've got a lot of dream roles. That would be a fun one, 100%. An iconic one. I love dark characters. I love, 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 love dark characters.
Yeah, I saw that you mentioned in an interview once that you were typecasted as a villain, that you were going to a lot of auditions and not getting it, and you asked some directors what they see you as, and they all said villains.
Yes. When given the opportunity to talk to a casting director and get feedback, it's invaluable, right? Because you get to see yourself through their lens. So I tried to always do that when given the opportunity. And specifically, there was a guy at for a Hasbro job. It's like a toy company.
Mm-hmm.
And like I made it to the second or third round of callbacks. Like, so they kept calling me back in.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were just like, I didn't get it. And I'm like, I just wanted to know why. I was like, hey, like, what's going on? They're like, it's just your face.
It's just your face. You just look like you should be stealing the toys
like,
from the kids instead.
You look like you're up to no good. And
oh.
I'm like,
you do actually kind of look like you're up to no good. Oh, you have a mischievous air about you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
I remember, so the first anime IRL video that I did, we were on a team.
Oh yeah, we won.
We won. We crushed it, actually. Anytime Nick loses is a good day, yeah. I think, on anime
huge
IRL.
Huge day.
A huge win. But we were on a team, and we called ourselves Team ADHD.
Yes.
I remember, because we were just...
We were so not
in
the
game. We were not locked in. Not locked in at all. But we were in our own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I don't remember where we were going with that. Either. Oh,
mischievous.
You have a mischievous air about you. We were on the team together, and I remember winning, and it was like all of you guys on the channel have a different
vibe.
Vibe, yeah. It's like Steven's very earnest.
He's so wholesome.
And wholesome. And Nick is like the guy you love to beat because he's so boisterous.
Yes.
And big. And you are sort of the mischievous one, I'll say.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a better word, but mischievous is really coming to mind.
Well, that's it. You were not the first to say that. I get it. I am usually up to no good.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes through.
That, or I have a, someone once described it as, you look like you have a secret that no one else has.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? And you hold it inside?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder what it is.
I wonder, you don't know? You just have it.
Maybe.
You know it's a secret, but you don't know what it is.
I don't know. Never thought about it too much.
Mm. Well, we can
dive into that.
We can talk about it. Yeah. We can turn this into a therapy session instead. Yeah.
I would never cheat on my therapist. Doris, if you're watching this, you are the best. And I'm so, I should make an appointment soon. I'm sorry. been slacking.
He needs to talk about his secrets that he needs help figuring out.
Secrets. Yeah. It's an apt description. I forget who first gave me that.
Well, they typecasted you as a villain. So then did you start auditioning for more villain roles after that?
So yes and no. I've been typecast as many things throughout my like journey as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get some breakdowns that I'm like, fuck you. Can I curse on this?
Yes.
I don't, okay, good. Oh, thank God.
It's encouraged.
Oh, fuck yes. Okay. I was like, I don't know if I'm allowed.
I'm Italian, so.
I'm part Italian. I love that. I'm like all European things.
Same. I'm only half, but.
Half's a lot.
That's where the majority of my family that I grew up with, they're all New Yorkers. They're all Italian, so. We have to curse. It's inevitable.
It's just natural. Mm-hmm. You know, they say people who curse are more intelligent.
I saw that.
Yeah, fantastic. I agreed with it. It was just confirmation bias. I don't need to look into it.
I didn't open it either.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
ADHD, Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this for us.
You're probably mischievous a little bit.
You think so?
Maybe.
Do I come off that way?
You could.
What's my typecast?
So
you won't hurt my feelings, I promise.
It's totally like very much Girl Next Door.
That's what I said too the other day. Nick asked me this question.
Yeah.
That's what I answered.
Very much
it's
Girl
Next Door. Girl Next Door. What does
also,
that mean?
You're just cute, approachable, bubbly, nice, but lurking deep under the serene water is something destructive.
Ooh.
You could totally be like the one who ends up being the murderer. That's how I would cast you, because it'd be fun. Because you'd fool everyone. And then it's like, oh my God, it was her.
I like that. That's a great brand.
Yeah.
To have, I think.
Yeah. It's like the exact opposite of me.
Where they
people
think
would look
you're
at me
villain,
like, oh, this guy's up to
nice
up
guy.
To no good. And then someone else is the villain. They're like, I still don't trust that guy.
Up to the very
end. That's what we were talking
and you
about.
You were innocent the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, that's funny. I mean, I wouldn't love that role because I would want to be the bad guy, but mm-hmm. it's something I could do.
Well, villains are interesting, right?
Oh,
They're such a vital part of whatever media they're in.
Yeah.
And I also have another interview quote.
Oh, good.
From you. You said that your goal is to make your audience relate to the most despicable villains of all time.
I
is that
love
still your goal?
To do that. It's one of my favorite things to do. You take a character who, like, in all rights, should have no redeeming qualities. Like,
right.
You should not like this person.
Mm-hmm.
But if the performance can make them empathize with you,
mm-hmm.
I want them to be like, I don't like the way I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel that way about this terrible human being?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's such a challenge, one, to do, and two, it's such a fun performance. Like, how can I make this? A great, more recent example would be Joaquin Phoenix's Joker,
mm-hmm.
Which it got acclaim. Everyone liked it. I mean, he was phenomenal in it. but it made you understand.
Root for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It absolutely. Made you understand on one hand and also be like, I get it. Like, mm-hmm. I feel you, dude. It makes sense. And you kind of disregard the fact that he just murdered some guy.
I was going to ask if you had examples that stuck with you. That's a really, really good one.
Oh, I love that one. It was so well done.
So do you find that you get cast as more villains than anything else, even still?
So, let's see.
I got in trouble for saying casted. It's not the right
what
word.
Pretentious, it's what pretentious actor did that
cast.
To you?
Cast.
Tell me casted, which pretentious actor was like, actually.
One of my vocal coaches actually doing voice acting. They were like, they even said that, not to be pretentious, but I know someone's going to bring this up to you. So just so you know.
So they became the pretentious. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. But I mean, they're technically correct, which I guess some people would argue is the best kind of correct. But yes, it is cast. And to answer your question, it's a bit of everything. I still get breakdowns that are just so stupidly shallow that like I laugh about them because that's how my career started. Mm-hmm. You know, hot bartender, mm-hmm. hot friend, hot guy in coffee shop, mm-hmm. shirtless runner. And these roles had like 1-2 lines and I'm just like, I'm just not, this isn't acting. Mm-hmm. I just am half naked.
Right.
Or I don't know. But then I would also get a lot of like the douchebag, the like nothing like too bad, like if you're gonna make it a spectrum, like yeah, he's a douchebag,
yeah,
but he's not like a serial killer.
I can see you as like the high school bully.
Oh, thank you.
Like the jock who's me, like who's rude at a party.
Yes, that guy, the charming asshole is a lot of things I get. Mm-hmm. I still get a lot of the stupidly shallow breakdowns, but I do get a lot more variety now, probably because I just say no to so many things. Yeah, I do. Me and Steven laugh at our breakdowns though because they're completely different.
Really? Oh yeah, I imagine. I
sent him one and he was actually, I sent it as a joke because it was just like looking for like insanely attractive guy with washboard abs. And I just was laughing because I was like, dude, I ain't going back. And I texted him the screenshot and he called me up. He's like, bro, I have never once in my life gotten a breakdown like that.
No, Steven, you don't want to play the hot.
I was like, trust, bro, you're not missing anything at all.
Well, but you did start with modeling then. So you got recruited in a bar, crazy work, went to a strange woman's hotel lobby. She took weird photos of you, didn't sell them
did
on
not
the black
get laid
market,
that night. No, yeah.
Didn't get laid.
And I didn't even think about any of those options. I was also drunk.
Right.
Well slightly
yeah,
drunk.
Drunk in college, you do anything, yeah. I feel. That's a different time, different era. But you started modeling. You lived mm-hmm. in New York.
Yeah.
You were going to castings. When did you start acting? When did you?
The acting decision happened. I'd always wanted to do it, so mm-hmm. I just started immediately, like right after I got my first paycheck for modeling. I was like, oh, this is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started doing that.
Started doing. Did you take classes? How did
you
get
started? I started taking some classes at college. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to New York, obviously I took classes everywhere. I took way too many classes.
Is there a specific tip that has stuck with you from the beginning as far as acting goes?
There's a lot, but characterization over memorization.
Mm.
Always. Whether it be an audition or the performance itself. When you do the character work, you build the character and you play the character, it's okay if you replace a couple words or change the dialogue slightly, as long as you're doing it in character.
Right.
There's nothing worse than someone trying to remember their lines because it takes you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it not authentic at all. There are exceptions always, like Aaron Sorkin. If you ever watch this, I love your work. And I know that one must read it exactly as it is written, or so I've heard. But for the most part, characterization over memorization, always.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Usually, obviously, we have mostly cosplayers on here, and I like to ask them tips about cosplay and building and things like that. I feel like you have a lot of skills, so I was juggling whether to ask you tips about content or modeling or acting, but I think since we're in California and a lot of people are into acting, and do you have any tips on how to potentially get started in acting, and then once you are interested in auditioning, what you would recommend the next steps be?
Yeah. So I'd say the first step is to get in a class, always, because a lot of people have this idea of what acting is, and it's not that. It is and it's not. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of technique. It's a lot of training. It's a lot of getting, depending on the type of acting you're going to do, it's a lot of getting on camera, being comfortable on camera, forgetting the camera exists. It's a lot of rehearsal if you're on stage. It's a lot of vocal work or dance work in general, body work. Now, I'm not a Broadway actor. I've done some stage experimental theater in New York. It's fun. It's very fun. It's not my goal, I would say, but if Broadway knocked on my door, I would not say no.
Do you sing? Do you have to sing for Broadway?
Not necessarily. I would have to like relearn how to sing. I still have nerve damage all over my body. Yeah, that's great. Back to acting tips. So get in class, find out if it's something you actually like. That's important because it's arguably one of the most difficult careers to do successfully, whatever that means to you. The attrition rate is actually higher than the Navy SEALs. So fun statistic.
That's crazy.
But on the bright side, the only way to fail is to quit.
Right.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Because you can't age out of it. And you can always, like, you never know. It could always be the next day. Like, that's why you don't give yourself a plan B and you don't give yourself a time limit. It has to be the only thing you want to do. Now, don't get me wrong, you can have side gigs or whatever else to support you. You will need them. But you can't have anything else you want to do.
So then let's say somebody is wanting to be an actor, whatever that means to them.
Yes.
Would you recommend that they do content?
Yeah.
Or do you think that it's better to focus on more traditional means?
So what does that mean? Do you mean better to focus on TV?
Like the film? Traditional path, if you will, quote unquote.
That's obsolete.
Okay.
So Hollywood itself is already struggling.
Right. They're moving to the UK for the most part, I've heard.
Hollywood itself, like as a machine, has kind of refused to adapt. It's done a lot of things wrong. And I think it's almost arrogance. It wasn't threatened by social media. It wasn't.
Right.
And nowadays,
it was a monopoly.
More people watch YouTube than they do movies. No one wants to sit into a movie theater, right?
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Especially when it's the 18th reboot of a spinoff that you don't care about.
It's very true.
With the same actors you see in every other movie.
Yeah, it's so comfortable to be in your house too.
Exactly.
I mean, your couch is there, your blankets are there, your snacks are there. Yeah. It's not overpriced.
It's amazing.
It's, yeah.
Right? So Hollywood's kind of like, in that sense, dying. And that's why like, people nowadays, if you ask kids, you're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It used to be, I want to be a movie star. Now it's, I want to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And that's a reflection of the times, right?
Yeah.
I think content, it's a vast umbrella, obviously, but if you want to be a performer, what better way than to perform? And that's what I argued with a lot of actors during the pandemic when I got on social media. They're like, oh, well, that's stupid. Like that, I'm an actor.
Right.
I would never get on social media.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's crazy. When's the last time you acted?
Right.
I act every day.
Right. And you're getting better with all the practice too.
Yeah.
There's a quote, I'm curious, I think it's by Denzel Washington or somebody very prestigious that says that they don't do social media because the more people have access to you, the less ethereal you become. The actual quote is much better.
The less attainable you seem.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's almost
exactly.
Like an air of exclusivity. I think that might be an outdated quote.
And that's like how movie stars have always been viewed, right? So I just want your opinion.
I think if you are one of the top movie stars in the world, you don't need social media. But if you're anyone else,
why not?
Why wouldn't you?
It's a tool.
Like, how is anyone going to find you? If you're not already a movie star and you want to get there, how do you plan on getting there? Unless you show someone you can do something.
So you think everyone should do content?
I think if you want to be a performer in any way, shape, or form, it would be stupid not to.
Because you can have your resume constantly.
I've got, hey, can you send us a reel? Castings still ask stuff like that. Like people in email, there, can you send me over a reel? And yes, I have like a reel, but like.
But look.
I also have like, there's a zillion videos you can watch.
And is it, I know the answer to this already, but it obviously works in your favor to have numbers and followers, right?
Yes and no. I don't know anymore.
Really?
I think yes from a marketing standpoint always. But that also brings in, there's a lot of predatory things that happen where like, like maybe less than studio, but still like big budget films expect like free, it's two different things. And Kevin Hart actually talked about this once in a really good way in that he has two contracts. One for an actor and one for his social media. And they are completely separate. Like if you want me to be a marketing tool for you beyond just being in the project, you need to pay for that. And that is very true. Like my acting rate is way less than my social rate for the right project 100% of the time.
What would make you say yes to an acting project now?
Depends on the project. Like if Tarantino called me up and was like, hey, I'm making another movie, I'd be like, I will do it for free.
I'll pay you, actually.
Yeah, I'll pay you. But I have a deal with my business manager in that if it's a good script and it's a role I really like and I want to do, he will work with me as long as I like don't lose money. I can pretty much get him to like agree to all of it as long as I don't lose money. If it's like something I love and I just won't take no for an answer from like the management perspective, I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. You have to figure it out.
What would that be? Would it be the right character? Would it be the right
director? Yes, character, director. Honestly, for the right character, yes, I would love if there was a seasoned director, but like, sometimes I'll read a script and I'm like, this is phenomenal. Like I would love to do that. Like I've got a fantasy movie that I'm doing this year that they reached out, they sent me the script and I'd never heard of any of these people, but you know, it's an indie film, but it's pretty relatively high budget and pretty legit. And I read the script and I was like, this is fucking cool. Like I would love to do that. And I also just got offered the role. Like I don't have to audition a lot of the time anymore because people have seen my content.
Yeah.
They've seen my work. They know, oh my God, he can perform on camera. He can do this and that and that. So they don't need to ask, right? They don't need to see me doing it. They've seen it. So that's another benefit of doing content as a performer. It's just, you never know who's going to see it.
Right.
And you never know what's going to come of it. I've had two of the movies I'm doing this year are just straight up offer only from social media. They find me, they email me, offer me the role. And I'm like, that's
sounds
awesome,
good.
Right?
What do you do to get into character when you
depends
get cast in something?
It depends. So there's the big methods of acting, right? That, you know, you've got the Meisner, Adler, Stanislavski, like the method, which don't recommend, by the way. don't do it. Not worth it.
What is that for those who are unfamiliar?
Method acting.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, R.I.P. That was a method acting performance. Famous method actors, Daniel Day-Lewis, Christian Bale, Joaquin Phoenix. Christian Bale's wife famously said in an interview, he brings a piece of every role he plays back home with him.
Interesting.
So method acting is, for those unfamiliar, you literally become the person. What that means is you give yourself a psychotic break.
On purpose.
Yeah.
And you live that way for a while.
You live that way. You become that person.
Do you go home and take that off, or do you live that way forever until the project is over? And potentially forever, I guess.
I can't speak to their practices, but mm-hmm. you typically live it. That's mm-hmm. why on set, you're not acting with Heath Ledger. You're literally acting with the Joker.
I see.
It does a lot. I mean, if you've got tenuous mental health already, I had to do that once. So one of my first big acting opportunities, mm-hmm. I had just done a modeling shoot. It was a James Dean tribute shoot, and it came out great. And I did it mostly because I was a fan of James Dean's, you know, mystique and his story. And my grandmother always used to make fun of me and tell me I was cooler than James Dean. Mm-hmm. Or I thought I was cooler than James Dean. So we did the shoot. Some guy saw it, reached out to me, wanted me to do a screen test for a biopic they had coming up about James Dean.
Wow.
So I go do that. They loved it. They offered me the role. They tell me, you know, James Dean was a method actor. Okay. We want you to go method.
Okay.
Would you be comfortable with that?
Okay.
And I said, hell yeah.
Yeah. You're excited.
So I spent, and I should have had proper, like, over the shoulder coach the whole time, making sure I was doing it correctly. I didn't. I was very new. Mm. I was just like, I'm just going to become this guy. And I don't remember much of those months, but eventually the budget got pulled and it got scrapped. So before we even started shooting,
damn.
I'd spent like 2 to 3 months. God, I don't know. Not a good time. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend method acting to anybody.
So what do you do? How do you prepare for a role?
Actors' preparations are like super personal usually. Mm. But in terms of methodology, it's outdated to use one method especially for screen, because they're all developed for the stage. Mm. And both mediums are completely different, right? You don't have rehearsals. You've got time. You've got time to prepare, build the character. You've got multiple takes. So I lean on different methods depending on what's happening. I mean, I have seen with other people, I'd probably lean heavier on like Meisner, which is it's authenticity in reacting. So you're reacting to the other person, so it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other things, you know, you can pull from your own life experiences. You can do a lot of things to get you where you need to be. You can basically imagine you're in this scenario, use the power of imagination, but you're telling the truth under imaginary circumstances at the end of the day. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes good acting. So what do I do to prepare depends on the role.
Gotcha. Have you ever had to play a character that you didn't agree with? Or do you have to get into the mindset of the character to be able to give a believable performance?
Oh, no. So you can look at people like Draco Malfoy. Who was that? I always forget his name. Tom?
Mm-hmm.
He's like a super nice guy, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people who play villains, super nice guys.
Yeah.
You're not, just because you can play a good villain doesn't mean you are one. So like right. I've played frat douchebags all the time, super misogynistic just assholes. Mm-hmm. You can get that energy. You don't agree with it. Like Leonardo DiCaprio in Django, right? He's not a racist Southern plantation owner.
Right.
He's in fact, he's allegedly a very caring guy, especially about the environment. I don't know the guy, but yeah. So it's all about, you can find the parallels between yourself, and it's probably not the outlook that they have, mm-hmm. but it's important to keep in mind that every villain doesn't consider themselves that.
Right.
They're
it's
the hero.
Just the emotion.
Yeah, they're the hero in their own journey.
Right.
To them, they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. I took a villain class for voice acting, and it was very strenuous.
Fun?
Oh. It was very fun. It was very fun, but it was also exhausting. Yeah. You know, like you are putting yourself in sort of a moral dilemma that you have to kind of get over, and then seeing things from their perspective and knowing that they don't view themselves as the villain, and you having like a fourth wall, knowing that they are the villain.
See, this is you being the girl next door. You're so sweet. You're like, I'm having a moral dilemma about the... I get it.
It is.
I get it.
Any video game I play, I have to do the right thing or I'll feel bad. So
that's valid.
I do feel bad, but I also think villains are the most fun to play.
They are.
And I not so much anymore, but when I first started, we usually would get cast as villains more than anything else. Mm. Because, I don't know, do you do voice acting as well?
I don't. People tell me I should.
It's a different world.
I love voices in general because you can do a lot with them. Mm-hmm. I think voice acting is its own beast.
Totally.
I know a bunch of voice actors and I'm like, I just want to do this and I can't, I already do too many things.
Too many things.
Right?
For sure.
I've had a few voice like auditions just cause, and I was like, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. Do you know Damon Mills? He does like Frieza and a bunch of, he's a big voice actor, but he let me use his like cool studio thing at his apartment for like this audition once, and I was like, this was like kind of strenuous, like this was exhausting. Mm-hmm. My god, they had me read for like the hero and the villain, mm-hmm. which was great, but I was exhausted after. It felt like, it reminded me of this one time I had to do we were auditioning for the lead actress. I had already gotten the part of the lead, and it was like such an emotional scene, and I had to do it like with 12 different girls, right? Mm-hmm. I was dead. I was exhausted, but it felt like that. I was like, how did that take all my energy? Mm-hmm. I think it's almost like I tried harder to like make sure my emotion went through my voice because I have no other mm-hmm. tools to use. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me because I have no experience with traditional acting, but having maybe a reader or having a scene or having other things to play off of, it's almost like
it's all the eyes.
Yeah,
screen acting, all of the eyes,
right? So doing it alone in a dark box,
it was
you are coming up with you're like picturing everything yourself.
Yes.
Like you're creating the environment, you're creating the character, you're creating the relationship, who are you talking to, all of the stuff, you're making it all up. So I think that takes a little bit more mental energy, I think.
I'm used to that. I do that whenever I perform. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm on a set, that's great.
Yeah.
But like if I'm auditioning and I'm just in front of a wall, mm-hmm. I just do that anyway. So all the imagination was there. I just didn't have the tools that like to show the performance. Mm. So that's what I think made me, because I was like, I can't use my eyes. I can't
like
use my
training.
I can't use like my posture. Yeah, I can't use physical tics. I mm-hmm. can't use, because there's so much you can do mm-hmm. on screen mm-hmm. to show anything. Mm-hmm. But when they don't see me, mm-hmm. I'm like, how do I do that?
Right.
That it was fun. I enjoyed it thoroughly. So I'm not like opposed to voice acting. When did you start again?
Last year, nice. Last November. So it's been a little over
That's
a year
awesome.
Now. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's going well.
Hell yeah.
I want to know what made you move from New York to California then.
Oh, wow. Well, I spent almost my entire life in New York. I grew up right outside New York. So like a 30-minute train ride to Grand Central, very close. Then I moved there after I told my parents I wasn't going to be a lawyer.
How'd they take it?
Better than most, probably. I also didn't give them much time because, like, within a month, I was like, bye.
Were you like, I'm going to perform? And they were like, yeah, we always figured.
Yeah, they weren't very shocked. Like, but they were kind of like, really? Like, whatever, man. Like, all right. They were supportive after the shock wore off, I think.
Right. Yeah. So when did you decide to move to California? Was it post-COVID?
Yes. Okay. It was, I've been here for like 2 years? Yeah, like 2 years now. A lot of things just lined up.
You've only lived here for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Same. That's crazy.
Did we like move? Oh, wow.
It's raining so
hard. It's actually torrentially downpouring.
Yeah.
Well, don't you have a thing at like 7?
Loose, but yes.
Okay.
It's fine.
Good.
It's just a friend board game night.
Oh, what board game?
Blood on the Clock Tower.
I've never played that.
Have you played Werewolf or like Mafia?
Werewolf, yeah.
It's that, but more intense.
Ooh, that sounds fun. Who's hosting?
His name is Ryan. I don't remember his last name.
The storm has passed.
But he does films. He's a videographer. He does a lot of music videos.
Oh, very cool.
A lot of directing.
Nice.
Stuff.
Exciting. What were we talking about before that?
We were talking about when you moved to California.
Oh, so 2 years ago, I moved because a lot of things lined up. It was, my lease was ending. Steven, my best friend, just moved. We had just like met in New York. I had just realized he lived in New York, and we became instant friends after I hit him up. And I was like, yo, I wrote some scripts, let's shoot them. And then I went over and we were just like best friends from that day on. And then like he moved to LA. And then my other friend, Stanzi Potenza, moved from New York to LA. My lease ended and I got cast in something in LA. So I was like,
it's about damn time.
And also I hate the cold.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so bad with the cold.
Yeah.
I shiver if it's below like 65. I just start shivering. I'm kind of cold right now.
Yeah. I came here planning to take this jacket off and I didn't. It is pretty cold with the rain. But
I came here planning to take my shirt off. But
and you didn't. Instead, you just got a spicy sticker and you put it on.
I forgot about that. Spicy.
I think it adds a little. A little zest. When I introduced you, I introduced you as the man who branded himself a walking red flag. Would you care to explain that?
It was. It's actually the name of my merchandising company, but it started. I have the trademark for it too. Isn't that great?
That is great.
Right. It's also a great name for a company.
It is.
Eventually, I'll probably have productions of my own underneath it. A walking red flag production sounds great. I, you know, in therapy, green flag. After my car accident, I did a lot of introspection. I became very aware of some toxic, you know, behaviors I had had in the past. And I just kind of embraced the fact that, like, I'm a little crazy. I get it. Not for everybody. So like I myself may exhibit some red flag behavior. And I embrace that.
And you said Doris is your therapist?
Doris, yes.
Is she partially to blame for the realizations?
Oh, she's great. Yes. So I had seen a few potential therapists after my accident. I'd never really done therapy before that. But she was the only one that, like, not only did the session start and then finish, and then I was just like, what just happened? She didn't let me
Steve, weasel out of it.
Yeah. Like I feel like the other people I could kind of, I could just kind of derail the conversation as I wanted to.
I know exactly
and she
what
would
you're
just
talking
be like,
about. Come back, come back.
Like you didn't answer my question.
Yeah. I am right now trying to find a therapist and I've done a couple of consultations and I am the exact same way. Okay. I need somebody who's like, no.
You got to keep me here. I will run away.
Yeah, exactly. And I will pretend and get away with it.
I will lie to your face.
Yeah.
Yes. I will make you end up divorcing your husband because he doesn't like your Instagram photos.
Right. Does that happen?
No.
Oh.
I don't think.
It sounded like it came from real life.
It's something. That's actually a funny skit. I'm going to write that down.
Richard, do you hear that?
That's a funny skit. I'm going to therapy. Oh, good for you. You're in therapy. Oh, yeah, that's funny. Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
I'm just derailing us.
No, I have ADHD and I understand
the
need to write it down.
We are team ADHD.
Yeah. So.
Thank God you have note cards.
I do.
We'd be so lost.
I know. For your content creation, because you do a lot of skits. Mm-hmm. You did some thirst traps.
Yes.
You do comedy. You do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Where do you want to take that in 2026? Do you have a plan?
So, yes and no. A lot of people ask, like, when they're like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Mm-hmm. That's a really hard question, the way.
I literally live life one day at a time.
Same.
I cannot plan ahead. If you ask me what I'm doing next week to make plans with me, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't commit to that. I have no idea.
Right.
But what will I be doing career-wise in 5 years? This, but a bigger. So
upward trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, upward. People, I guess upward. It's the same, just bigger.
Yeah.
So like I want a soundstage of my own. Mm. I want to be able to wake up in a cold sweat, call people, be like, hey, guys, crazy idea. We need a pirate ship, a peacock, and 18, I don't know, camels. And we're going to go shoot this crazy idea that I just had.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's complete creative freedom, which is the blessing of content creation, I imagine, versus just being at the whim of a director and a crew and a set.
Although, you are right. But I do. There are times, especially, and I'm grateful that I have friends who do projects that want me to act in them, because you get so burned out doing all of it.
That's so where I was going with this. Is it almost like a welcome reprieve sometimes where you get to just show up?
Oh my God.
And you're not in control of everything.
I will, and I do this all the time when Steven hits me up. I'll literally be in the middle of editing and I'm like, I need to get this edit done. I need it, but I'm so burnt out. He'll say, hey, do you want to come play this character in my thing? And I close my computer. I'm like, yep. Let's go. So I show up and I get to perform again.
Mm-hmm.
Just perform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about editing or lighting or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice.
Yeah. However, it's a balancing act.
It is. I mean, in a perfect world, you know, someone would just give me money to make my projects.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect world.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like, relating it to D&D, it's almost like being the DM and wanting to just play.
Yes.
After a while.
Precisely.
Yeah. Which is good that you have the freedom to do both. That's amazing.
That is true.
That you've built that.
Yeah. Any problem I have now, I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Exactly. I feel like a lot of this podcast is me complimenting content creators who don't take compliments very well. So.
That's me.
Giving people their flowers and them getting quite uncomfortable afterwards.
I'm very bad at taking compliments, but Doris and I have worked on that repeatedly.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Doris. We appreciate you.
She's like,
thank you for your service.
Just fucking say thank you, asshole. Okay. I still struggle with that, actually. People compliment me. I'm like, It's no.
Yeah, I do the same. Yeah. But maybe it's an ADHD thing.
I mean, the podcast is great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I said thank you. Good job.
Yeah. I'm getting better too.
Hell yeah.
So then to close us off, do you have anything that you can look back on and say is your proudest moment or something that you are really grateful for when it comes to everything that you do, which is a lot?
Like in my content journey or like?
Yeah, content journey or acting journey or anything in particular. Do you have any like standout moments? Like, wow, I did it moments, or wow, this is awesome. Like, so, this is everything I've wanted moments.
Specific moments are tough. I don't think I ever really process any of it after like the first million followers ever. I was just like, that's crazy. And I just continued doing what I was doing. I think I'm very proud of the fact that I'm at a place where I can get movie offers through social media. I'm very proud of that. That's amazing. I'm grateful for where I am in life. I'm in LA. I get to perform for a living, which to me is the whole point, right? That's what you want to do.
Totally.
And somehow I've got a bunch of, you know, screenshots of specific messages over the years where, like, I actually made a difference to somebody. And those are pretty cool, especially because I did this selfishly. I did it because I needed to do it. I needed a creative outlet. Fuck everybody else. Like, I'm just going to do this because I want to. But the unintended side effect of that was, you know, inadvertently saving some people's lives. So that's kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is kind of fucking cool.
Right.
And you deserve your flowers for that, I'd say.
Thank you.
There we go. We got him, Doris. Well, is there anything that you are looking forward to this year? Any upcoming projects that you're excited about plugging, and also where can everybody find you online?
I am at the Chris Barnett on all of the things except Facebook, because I still have too many imposters over there. I digress. I'm excited about a few things. One I can't talk about. One I think I can talk about. The fantasy film is called Amalia Chronicles. We should be shooting mid this year? Something like that. I get to play a fantasy bad guy.
Awesome.
I'm excited. I also talked them into letting me do my own stunts. Richard's going to teach me how to use a rapier.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you. That and whatever kooky shit I cook up on my own channel. And eventually I'll make my own Patreon when my ADHD permits it.
All the behind the scenes content that no one sees of you learning how to use a sword.
That too. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it is. You should make that into a video as well. Write it down. Write it down.
Oh, good call. Yeah, but this is great. You're so nice. Wow.
Tell your friends.
I will.
All right. Do you have any hot takes?
Pineapple on pizza is not pizza. It doesn't count. It's not bad. You can like it. It's just not pizza.
What about content creation hot takes?
Oh.